In our gospel reading for today, Jesus warned the apostles with these words, "Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God." There are those who believe, sincerely believe, in a higher power, one to whom they pray, one whom they may even call God, and they even intend to serve God by what they are doing. They believe that what they are doing is right, what they're doing is what God wants them to do, what's God pleasing. But just because someone believes this very sincerely, believes that they are right, believes that God smiles at what they are doing, just because they believe that, doesn't mean that they are, in fact, doing what is right and what is God-pleasing. In other words, people can be very sincere in what they believe and be sincerely wrong. And Jesus' statement to his disciples here demonstrates that fact when he says, "Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God." Jesus tells his disciples that there will be those who say that they believe in God, but believe that these disciples, these apostles of God, are not actually apostles of God, but enemies of God. Therefore, since these men, so these other people believe, are opposed to God or enemies of God, it is right to punish them and even to kill them. And so we see from that statement that it is possible for a person to think they know what is good and right by their own reason, and even to believe that it is God-pleasing, and be totally mistaken. They may have intended to do what was good and right and God-pleasing. But in the example that Jesus uses, in this warning that he gives, we see people who think that, who think they're on God's side, but are actually fighting against God. In fact, what does Jesus say about those who oppose the apostles, who will oppose the apostles when they go forth to be his witnesses, witnesses of Jesus' resurrection? What does he say about them? What is the issue? He goes on in the next verse, 16, verse 3, and says, "And they will do these things," meaning they will kill those who are apostles of God or think they are offering service to God when they kill them, "because they have not known the Father," meaning God the Father, "nor me," meaning Jesus. They claim to know God and his will and what he wants, but actually they don't even know the Father or Jesus. This should give us warning in our day as well. We can believe that we are doing what is good and right because it's what we're used to doing. We're accustomed to it. Or because it's what everyone else is doing and saying and thinking. It's a family tradition, a community tradition, even a congregational tradition. But just because we have done something for a very long time, or because something is popular, or because it seems normal, doesn't mean it is good and God-pleasing. We can be very sincere in our beliefs and be sincerely wrong. If the people who oppose the apostles could do it, and they were human beings like us, then we can do it as well. But it isn't only common practices of the past, things we've done for a long time, that we can sincerely believe in and hold to and practice, and we can be sincerely wrong in believing that they are good and right. It is also new ideas that are introduced to us, new fads, new trends in our culture, that can be sold to us as good and, in fact, even God-pleasing, even when they are not. For example, someone may hear us teach and preach what the Bible says about marriage, and about, especially about homosexuality and transgenderism. When we say from the Word of God that marriage is between one man and one woman, and also when we say that it is a rejection of God's created order and a rejection of who you are, to harm the body that God has made with chemicals and mutilation, believing that you are something other than what God has made you. The person who hears us say this and oppose these sorts of things may say, well, that's not loving. And in fact, if they claim to be Christians, they may even say, the God I believe in wouldn't say that. Didn't Jesus welcome all kinds of people? And they may, in fact, believe it is good. They may even, in fact, it's God-pleasing, may believe it's God-pleasing to encourage negative publicity in social media, on the internet, against such Christians. If you refuse to use the pronouns that a person chooses, contrary to how God has made them, and thereby, by refusing to use those other pronouns that they have self-chosen rather than the ones that reflect what God has made, and thereby you refuse to deny what God has made, you may be attacked by people who think they are doing what is good and right to fight discrimination and promote inclusiveness. If you refuse to provide a service for a gay wedding, you may be sued for discrimination, as have Christian florists and photographers in recent years. And those opposed to you may believe that they are, in fact, duty-bound to oppose what they believe is discrimination and bigotry against particular groups, when, in fact, you as a Christian recognize that particular acts and desires are sinful, and they are not who a person is designed to be by God. No matter how much a person may feel a certain desire, these are simply examples of people who believe that they are right and may in fact say that they are God-pleasing when in fact they are not. In fact, things are such that even whole church bodies have adopted views that are contrary to the Word of God. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the largest Lutheran church body in the United States, affirms homosexuality and transgenderism, and are now even considering whether they should permit clergy in the ELCA to even teach that homosexuality is a sin. Even people who claim to be part of Christ's church can fall away and reject the truth. They can embrace what God says is sin. Say, what God says is sin is actually okay, it is fine. And then even go so far as to oppose those who affirm and uphold and teach God's word faithfully. It is possible for us as Christians to be deceived by the standards of the world, by its practices, its current beliefs, its fads. It's possible for us to adopt ways of thinking that are in line with the sinful world and are not in line with God's word, especially if the things that we imbibe, if the diet that we have, the ways of thinking that we hear, are primarily from the world, if we spend more time watching the news than reading the Bible, if we spend more time scrolling through social media than meditating on the scriptures, if we spend more time in places that exclude or ignore God than those that speak his word. So if we can be sincere in a belief and be sincerely wrong, if we can actually oppose the true teaching of the word of God and think that we are doing what is God pleasing and that this has happened in the past, then what is the answer? What are we to do to keep from falling into such traps? Well, we are to have our Lord do his work on us. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus promised to send a helper who would, he says, bear witness. He says to his apostles, when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. The Holy Spirit bears witness about Jesus. He bears witness that Jesus has come to die on the cross for sins. So that means that he is also bearing witness to the fact that we are sinners who needed a Savior to die on the cross for our sins. So the Holy Spirit convicts of sin and points us to Jesus as our Savior. He did this for the apostles and prophets, so that they, or those connected to them, could write down the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. Those who wrote down the Scriptures were moved by this Holy Spirit whom Jesus promises, this Holy Spirit who bears witness to Jesus. We recognize that all 66 books of the Bible are inspired by God. As the Word of God in 2 Timothy 3 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. The Lord has not left himself without witness. He has given the Holy Spirit so that we are not alone and that we do not have to operate by our own lights, our own reason, our own ideas of what is good, or rather by what the culture in any given day or age says is good and right. He has given us the witness of his Holy Spirit, who calls us to repentance and speaks his word. All of Scripture is God-breathed. Every single part of it. We cannot dismiss part of it and say, well, that isn't applicable today. Or this person was just stuck in certain kinds of ideas, and we need to dismiss what they have to say. All of the Bible is the Word of God, and we cannot start performing surgery on it to cut out the parts that we do not like or the culture does not like. If we do that, where will we stop? If we do that, we become the judges of God's Word. And we make the Scriptures bear witness not to what God says, not to what Jesus is and what he has done, but bear witness to what we believe in any given age. All of the Scriptures are the Word of God, given by the Holy Spirit, breathed out by God. And this Spirit who has inspired the Scriptures is the one here in our Gospel reading who is called the Helper, the Spirit of Truth. He gives us the truth as a blessed gift to enlighten the darkness of our hearts, to show us where we may be deceived, where we may be defending error, where we may be living in ways contrary to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is convicting of sin and calling us to believe in Jesus, to receive forgiveness for our sin and unbelief. And all belief contrary to God's word is unbelief, no matter how sincerely it is held. And all sin is, at the end of the day, unbelief. It is a lack of trust in our Lord to think, to speak, to act contrary to his word. But the Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who is the Spirit of truth, calls us to acknowledge the truth of our sin and unbelief. He shines the light on our darkness. He exposes our own blindness and uncleanness, our dirt and filth, for what they really are, and calls us to believe the truth, that Jesus has died to pay for all that sin in order to redeem you, to save you, to give you the forgiveness of your sin, so that you might be reconciled to the Father on account of Jesus. That's the goal of what the Holy Spirit is doing. It is not to leave you in guilt and despair, but for you to turn to Jesus for forgiveness. Today, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you may recognize that you have wanted to ignore or dismiss certain parts of God's Word, of the witness of the Holy Spirit. You may recognize that you have not read and do not know large portions of the Word of God, through which the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, works to give you the truth. You may recognize that you do not have a desire to read the Word of God and study it, so that the Spirit of truth may shine the light of truth into your life. If so, repent. Confess this as sin, and come to the Helper, the Spirit of truth, as you come to the Word of God, whose job it is to bear witness to Jesus. And so you come to Jesus, the only answer for your sins. You come to His words of forgiveness spoken throughout our service, but also spoken to you for your forgiveness in the absolution. Spoken to you in the words, "This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." The Holy Spirit works through the proclamation of this word, works as this word is spoken, to call you to faith in Jesus, and also to call you to recognize the sin that you lay before our Savior, for His forgiveness, and believe that here today you have new life because of the forgiveness of Jesus. You have salvation, rescue from death, eternal death, because of the forgiveness of Jesus. On our own, we can be sincere in our beliefs, but be sincerely wrong. Human beings can even think that they are doing what is God-pleasing when they are actually opposed to God and His Word. Apart from God and His Word and the Holy Spirit, we can easily fall into error, as people have in the past. And Jesus has to warn His disciples about such people. But He has given the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, to bear witness through God's Word and the witness of His apostles, to open our eyes. And thanks be to God that our eyes have been opened, that the eyes of others before us who passed on the faith to us, that their eyes were opened. And the Spirit of Truth has worked throughout history to open the eyes of the blind. On the front of your bulletin, you saw that picture of the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, who was a persecutor of the church, who thought that he was offering service to God, who had been trained in the law of God and believed that Christians were not those sent by God, not those on God's side, but rather enemies of God. And so he thought he was offering service to God when he arrested them and threw them in prison, when he persecuted them. And the Lord calls to him by His word, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul confesses Jesus is Lord. And he writes a good portion of the New Testament inspired by that Holy Spirit. But there have been other examples in more recent history. In our country, there was the famous Harvard law professor Simon Greenleaf, who actually sought to disprove the resurrection of Christ, and instead, through his research, became a Christian, who even went so far as to say that the resurrection of Christ is an established fact of history. Or the archaeologist William Ramsay, who, as he went out to dig, to explore, and wanted to find archaeological evidence against Christianity, and was going to publish a book to undermine Christianity in the Bible, instead published a book defending the Christian faith. And there have been others in recent history who have sought out to disprove the Bible, disprove the Word of God. And God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, working through His Word, turned those who were set against the Word of God and thought they were doing what was right and good to oppose it into Christians. God works by the power of His Holy Spirit to bring life. And we, dear Christians, must not ignore this word whereby the Holy Spirit bears witness, but must treasure it and gladly study it, because in it and through it, the Holy Spirit is speaking and working. God says that His word will not return void, but will go forth and accomplish what He desires. So do not become bored or indifferent to the word of God, whereby the Holy Spirit is working. But treasure this, dear Christian, as a gift and a blessing. In some countries, they must sneak Bibles into the country. They do not have the freedom to read the word of God. But we have Bibles sitting around collecting dust. Open the word of God. Hear it, study it, come to hear it proclaimed, and receive the gifts that it gives in the Lord's Supper and the absolution. The Holy Spirit is working through these means to create faith and also to sustain your faith. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.